This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
The Cowboys and Dak Prescott finally have their contract. Finally. 4 years, $160 million.
It's dictated by market value, and NFL teams know that you really don't have a chance at sustainable success unless you have confidence in the guy that's under center.
He's the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL, $40 million a year. Now Dak is going to be judged by Super Bowls. He's no longer that plucky fourth round pick.
Well, if he's going to be judged by Super Bowls, if that's the ultimate deciding factor, then I think the Cowboys fans are going to be vastly disappointed.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, welcome aboard. It's the big 6 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, 800-919-3776. NFL is in the news. Trent Brown is back with the New England Patriots, so they're kind of revamping that offensive line over there in New England, Chris.
Did they trade him? Was he? What happened there?
That's a great question.
Yes.
How is this funny?
This is a typical Dave Rothenberg response to news. This is like, did it happen in Florida? When I say, yes, Florida, he said, well, where exactly in Florida did it happen?
Okay, well, I have the answer now. I don't think that was that awkward. He asked me a question, I looked it up, and now I have the answer. Ian Rappaport says the Patriots are expected to trade for offensive tackle Trent Brown. So I don't think that's comical at all. I think he asked a valid question, I gave a valid answer, and we move on.
No, I know. I'm just saying this is how, like, as a show unit, like, Chris and I have to be, I mean, when you ask us questions, we have to be, you know, prepared to a different degree. Because we know we're going to get follow-up questions.
But isn't that good? Isn't that what you want? You don't want me to hold you to a high standard?
Well, I mean, listen, sometimes I appreciate it when I've actually done the full homework and have all the answers. But the other times when I haven't, I'm just bringing it to the table.
So from now on, when you give me a piece of news, I'll just leave it at that. I'll comment and I won't follow up with the question.
When I give you a piece of news, make sure you check out the Zoom and I'll give you some kind of hand signal.
Okay.
To either ask me a question or I'll give it this one. No more questions.
No more questions?
Or I'll just go into like, or maybe you ask me the question and then I turn it into like a, you know, a Kyrie kind of answer.
Well, you just don't talk about things that have nothing to do with the answer.
Exactly right.
Uh huh.
I would answer this, but I'm more concerned about other things I do
really
off the radio.
The show. I see good things down the road, and this show is not the most important thing for me. And then, as you buy time with your filibuster, I can also look up the answer.
I do it for the loves. As I can a also look up that the I answer. Am.
So there's many different ways that we can peel that back.
I would love to be a fly in the wall in that locker room. Like the personalities in that locker
room. You're very much woke. There is no such thing as distraction. Oh.
Did you see, like, I mean, between Harden and Kyrie. Kyrie comes rolling in with the walking stick for the All-Star game. Harden looks like he's wearing a see-through rain jacket.
He's wondering.
Yeah, that was strange. It's like a lab coat, but it was see-through. I didn't get that.
It's amazing to me. I would love to be in that. I would consider, like, just as, like, interning in that, like, I don't even care, like, locker room attendant, just to hear some of the conversations in that
Blake
locker.
Griffin's going to walk around and just walk right out. They're like, I'm done. This is not what I was anticipating this being at all. All right. 800-919-3776. So a trade will happen with the Patriots to bring in, I don't know, left tackle, offensive lineman, we'll say for now, Trent Brown. We didn't mention this at all yet, Rick, but Marcus May has been tagged by your New York Jets.
Well, which makes sense. I mean, you're going to have to. You don't want to lose him.
No, of course not.
I mean, so it's either they tag him or, I mean, Rich Cimini had a good couple tweets. I mean, that usually when the Jets in the past, I mean, this is obviously Joe Douglas, a new regime, but when they do tag players, they eventually get long-term deals done. But, I mean, we're going through before the show. Like, I mean, how many players that are currently on the Jets roster would start for other teams in the NFL?
I think four, we said, right? Quinnen Williams would be a starter. CJ Mosley, who wasn't even there last year, would be a starter. Jackson Crowder, Marcus May, and Becton. So
that's
four
it.
Or five? Yep. Yeah, that's probably about it.
So they got a lot of work to do.
Tons.
To say
but they have a lot of resources to get that work done, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and listen, would I rather have the first overall pick? I would absolutely rather have the first overall pick because, I mean, that makes your decision pretty easy. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence. That feels like what's going to happen with Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the fact that Zach Wilson now is between Chris Sims and everyone else, like, is all these people falling in love with Zach Wilson. I think the Jets probably end up falling in love with Zach Wilson. But now all of a sudden, I mean, you do have all sorts of leverage for whatever decision you make. You do. Whatever Joe Douglas decides he wants to do, I think we all agree that he probably is going to move on from Sam, trade him, and then draft the quarterback at two. But, I mean, you already had eight teams calling about Sam Darnold, mm-hmm. right? That's the report. And I can only imagine, you know, once they start doing more and more work on these quarterbacks, that phone's going to be ringing off the hook for teams trying to trade up to get, I would imagine, Zach Wilson at two.
Yeah, I would imagine that there'll be interest at two. I mean, everybody knows that the draft this year starts at two because Jacksonville's going to take Trevor Lawrence. But to me, if you're Joe Douglas, your decision on Sam Darnold can't be swayed on the kind of draft pick compensation a team is going to be willing to give you for Sam or the kind of compensation they'd be willing to give you for the second overall pick. Like, the process and how they come to this decision has to be centered around whether or not they think Sam can get this job done. And based on what we've seen in his first 3 years, I don't know that there's anything that's on tape that would give you any level of conviction in staying with Sam and passing on one of these quarterbacks at two.
And as you mentioned yesterday with the Peter King article, he says the Jets truly don't know right now what they're going to do. I think they probably have a better idea than they're leading on, but his claim is that they really don't know what direction they're going to go in second overall in this draft.
Yeah, but the one thing I do know is they should be more interested in Deshaun Watson than they are. I don't understand why that is.
Doesn't sound like that's going to happen, right?
At all.
If I told you that they wound up with Deshaun Watson now, I think you'd be shocked, wouldn't you?
I would be shocked, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely they draft a quarterback, and then I don't even think I would actually at this point say it would be draft Zach Wilson with two, keep Sam Darnold and trade back from
and then
from
it would
two,
be Watson, right?
And then it would be Watson.
Yeah,
at this point.
I agree with you. Let's go to Aaron in Long Beach. Aaron, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Aaron? How are you?
Good, thanks. I wanted to continue real quick about that conversation about Dak Prescott. Do you guys think that it's like, is this like a Tony Romo 2.0 scenario? Like, he's a good quarterback, and over those 4 years, maybe they'll win, you know, and they'll have a couple times when maybe they'll win, a 10-plus game season, but, like, they haven't really done anything in the playoffs.
He's got one playoff win.
Right.
But we get caught up, and it... I can understand it. It still, I mean, it does frustrate me, though.
But
like,
that's,
I was
Rick, that's
that.
How you're measured. Well, as a quarterback in the NFL,
sport,
that's how you're measured.
It's a team sport. I get it. Everyone wants to win a Super Bowl, but it is a team sport.
Yeah, but at some point, you need to answer the critics and win playoff games, no?
Yeah, but I mean, last time I checked, there's an offense and there's a defense. Isn't the NBA when you play on both sides of the ball? Like, you can have a historically good offense if your defense is trash. You're not going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen in our life. He's won one Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he goes to the championship game every season.
And loses.
Every season he's in the NFC championship game.
Oh, and loses.
But Dak has won one playoff game. You can't compare those two.
I'm not comparing them. I think Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback. I'm just saying you can't just – everything can't just be about how many Super Bowls the quarterback has won.
You're paying him $40 million a year. That's what it's going to come down to. He needs to produce in the postseason. He does?
But that's the economics of the sport. That's not Dak's fault. It's not best guy gets the most money. It's whoever's up for a contract with leverage gets the most money. It's a flawed system. Don't blame this. Don't blame him.
But the point is,
because they didn't pay
him. There is pressure on him to win. I you might not like it, but there is. That's how the game
works. But you don't have to. But that's my point. You don't even have to win. Just be a good quarterback and have your contract up, and you'll make the most money.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Dak Prescott needs to win football games. Whatever money he's making, he just signed a new deal. He's one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL. He needs to win postseason football games. He has to now.
Yeah, but he'll have more opportunities now, though, Dave. I mean, they signed him to a four-year contract. I mean, I got to imagine that they're going to get back to the postseason at some point. This
okay,
is a guy in his
fine.
First five seasons that's taken the Cowboys to two postseason appearances, and they've won one playoff game. Like, I mean, it's amazing to me how we want to be overly critical of Dak Prescott in these types of situations. I mean, the guy does nothing but produce. That's all he does. I mean, he checks every single box that you're looking for. It's not like we haven't seen him win a playoff game. He's done that. It's not like we haven't seen him win a division because he's done that. Now you're projecting what he could potentially do when he has the proper supporting cast around him. I just feel like we're being a little bit unfair with Dak Prescott, but I think that's in large part due to the fact that he's getting paid the second most on average annual value of any quarterback in the National Football League, and a lot of people don't think he's that caliber of player.
He's not the second best quarterback in football.
No, he's not. But, I mean, I just feel like people want to be critical of his resume, especially in the postseason, because he's getting paid so much. I think that's what we're doing right now. And I think everybody has to take a step back and realize Dak Prescott is being paid this by Jerry Jones because he knows that Jerry Jones knows that Dak Prescott would command this kind of money on the open market if he were to get to free agency after this year if he had to play out on the tag. That's why Dak Prescott got paid this money.
Yeah, because they made the mistake of not paying him after year three. When he was making, oh, by the way, he made $630,000 in year three. That's when they should have paid him.
Of course it is.
Don't let it get to this point.
But go win playoff games.
Go win playoff games. Okay, how about you have my defense not give up 30-plus points in the playoffs?
Well,
you know, I got all sorts of ammunition, buddy. I feel like I'm a Cowboys fan right now trying to defend Dak Prescott.
Right, I'm saying. I'm just sitting there thinking about it. Matt Stafford has never won a playoff game, and everybody's saying the Rams are Super Bowl contenders because they traded for Matt Stafford.
Like, right, let's go through this.
It's unbelievable to me,
man. I got some pretty good quarterbacks.
What are we going through?
All right, here we go. So Dak Prescott only has one playoff win, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, both of Dak's playoff losses, the defense allowed 30-plus points. Okay, here's some quarterbacks' records in the playoffs when their defense also allows 30-plus points. Some good names. Tom Brady, 2-2. Aaron Rodgers, 1-5. Drew Brees, 0-3. Montana, 0-3. Favre, 0-7. Peyton Manning, 2-4. Russell Wilson, 0-3. Troy Aikman, 0-2. Steve Young, 0-4. Ben Roethlisberger, 0-6. Elway, 1-6. Roger Staubach, 0-1. Stop yourself.
You don't think quarterbacks need to win playoff games.
I know the quarterback's important, but your defense stinks. You're not going to win many playoff games. Stop yourself.
So you expect them to, or you expect them not to? I don't know. You're kind of both sides of the fence here now because you started the show saying this is the team to beat in this division, and now you don't expect them to win playoff games.
What do you mean? That wasn't what I just told you. I said you're trying to use. He's only won one playoff game. Well, how about your defense plays a little bit better?
He's going to be judged on whether he wins playoff games or not. That's how he'll be judged.
The whole team is going to be judged on whether or not they win playoff games.
Not as much as he will.
Well, of course, because he's making the most money.
Because he's the quarterback.
I understand what you're saying, but the way the finances are set up in the NFL, the best quarterback isn't necessarily the one that gets paid the most money. It's mm-hmm. whoever's up next. That's how it works. Like it or not, that's how it works. Should he be paid more than Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers?
Of course not.
Of course not.
That's not up for debate, and that's not his fault.
But that's how it works.
That money. But the bottom line is he's making a lot of money. He's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. He's the face of the franchise, and the expectation is that he's going to win playoff games. No one is going to blame Amari Cooper if they don't win playoff games. The blame will come down on one guy and one guy only, and that's the nature of football. That's where we are. Like it or not, that's where we are. If your team doesn't win and you're the quarterback, you're going to get blamed for it.
But here's the thing, though, Dave. The Dallas Cowboys, when they did this deal with Dak Prescott, they gave themselves a much better chance to win playoff games over the course of the next 4 years with Dak as their quarterback, as opposed to not getting this deal done, letting Dak play out on the tag and see what happens from there. They have an exponentially higher chance of winning a playoff game over the life of this deal with Dak Prescott as their quarterback. And if you're Jerry Jones, that's what you're looking for because you want an opportunity for your team to compete for a championship.
So go do it. That's all I'm saying. Go out and win playoff games, and I think the conversation will dull quite a bit.
Yeah, but again, I mean, it looks like a lot of money, and it is a ton of money. It's a ton of guaranteed money. But it's all about how it affects your salary cap. And they've given themselves flexibility with how they, I mean, with the 2 extra years tacked on that he's going to void.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up being it's a 6-year deal where they can spread it out so they can maximize having Dak Prescott as their quarterback. Just look at the money. Don't just look at how much money
he's making.
I didn't
say anything about the money.
No, but people in general.
Hammer home the point that with more money under the cap to be able to spend elsewhere should give them a better chance to compete and to win playoff games?
No, obviously, but that's the point. That's the point here. He's making a ton of money, but how it works against their cap, it gives them the opportunity to do what they need around him to try to give themselves the best possible opportunity to win the division and win playoff games. I'm not worried. Like, of the guys that have gotten paid on the Dallas Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott is I'm not overly concerned about if Dak Prescott is going to perform well. I'm more concerned about the other guys that got paid that have been bad. DeMarcus Lawrence has not been good since he's been paid.
Nope. Zeke hasn't been good since he's gotten paid.
Yeah, he looks like he ate the money since he got paid.
Tyron Smith might be done. You're right.
Amari Cooper, we should put him on the back of a milk carton. He goes missing half the time. All these guys are getting elite money.
Lyle Collins has been hurt since he got paid.
Elite money they're getting paid.
Yep.
And not performing at an elite level. I'm not saying listen, the Dallas Cowboys have all sorts of problems. But when you look at the NFC East right now, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, potential on offense, as far as, I mean, offense, defenses, everything, is right up there with Washington's defense.
Yes.
Rico, you said they got all kinds of problems. Dak Prescott helps you figure out a lot of those problems. That's the
we'll
long
see.
And short of it.
Here's what I'll say. I feel like it's every year this is what we say. Cowboys are going to be so good. Look how talented they are. They're unbelievable. And then we get to the season, and they underwhelm and they underperform.
Dave, just look at the Cowboys' record since Dak Prescott has been their quarterback. Just look at their record and then look at the rest of the division. You mean to tell me that they can't win this division?
I think they absolutely can.
Okay.
And I think they're the favorite to win this division right now.
I would agree with that.
But go do it then.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody will be waiting on, Dave, but I think you're actually looking at this wrong. You're looking at it as, okay, we paid you your money, now go win, whereas Dak Prescott and the rest of the football world is saying, well, you know what? What was the Cowboys' alternative? What was their choice? They had to pay Dak Prescott.
Because
exactly if they didn't,
what they had to do.
Because if they didn't do that, then what were they going to do?
The only blame I have for them here is that I think they should have done it sooner and not waited as long. But I
agree.
Think they did anything wrong. You had to pay him. He's the face of the franchise. He's a very good quarterback. I mean, on his worst day, he's probably the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, and probably better than that. I hope it equates for wins for them, because it seems like...
No, you don't. You don't hope that. Now you're being disingenuous, because you don't hope it equates to wins for them.
No, I said for them, not for me. I hope they go 1-15.
Exactly. That's what you want to see. Exactly.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a wild time in the NFL, huh? This is going to be great.
Yeah, this week is going to be, I mean, with cuts and everything else, this week is supposed to be crazy. With all these teams trying to get some flexibility with their caps, what happens with franchise tags? There's a lot to pay attention to, man.
Oh, yeah. No, if you, I mean, every time I nap every day, I wake up and I instantly go on Twitter, see what's happening. There's always stuff. There's always new stuff going on. All right. We'll hear from Adam Schefter later. Let's hear from him for a moment right now. He says the next 10 days in the NFL will be wild.
When people say, well, what's the next domino to fall? Well, we're going to have all the players who get tags on Tuesday. We're going to have all the players who have new deals next week. We're going to have more cap casualties. We're going to have teams trying to get under the cap. We're going to have teams spending money that are way under the cap. You're going to see trades. You're going to see a lot of things happen here over the course of the next 10 days. And they are, in my mind, the 10 busiest days of the NFL year.
Ooh, that's very exciting.
That gets me excited.
It should. How could it not? That the next 10 days are going to be the busiest 10 days of the NFL season?
Well, especially, too. I mean, we don't want to talk too much hockey. You know what I mean?
Well, we do go over the line with hockey.
Sometimes we fall into that trap. I mean, one of us does do a hockey show every weekend.
That's right.
Called The Marginal Fan.
No, it's called Crash the Net. To rave reviews week one, by the way.
Yeah, rave reviews. That's because you had Donnie on.
Yeah. Well, we asked you and you said no.
And I'll continue to say no.
Why?
I have no interest in doing that show ever.
So you will not come on as a guest on the show?
Never.
Why?
Never.
Well, okay, I understand what you're saying. My question is why?
Well, you know exactly why.
No, I don't. Because you're scorned? Because you're hurt? Because you weren't asked to host the show?
I didn't say I wanted to host it. I could have co-hosted it. I could have co-hosted. I wasn't even consulted. Not even consulted.
You're so hurt. Because you know what would happen?
How could I not
be? You're the guy that would have been asked, hey, Rick, do you want to host a hockey show? When is it? You'd have to tape it Friday or do it live Saturday morning. And he'd say, no, I'm good. You just wanted to be asked.
No, time out. Chris, let me ask you, because you're partial to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If...
I think you're looking for impartial.
No, that's what I meant, impartial.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was partial. He was partial to me. That's why I asked him the question. He's just going to stand up for me.
You want someone on your side.
That's probably true as well.
Better chance of me actually doing the show if they don't consult me and just randomly call me to be a guest on Dave's show, or initially consult me and ask me if I would like to co-host the show with Dave.
I'm going
to
say the latter.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the point.
So you're going to punish me.
There's still a very small chance that you would agree to do the show, though.
So he's exactly.
Next to nothing.
See?
Yeah.
So he knows
a better percentage,
you.
Though.
He knows you.
I mean, you're talking about the dumb and dumber percentage, though. You're saying there's a chance. Like, it's the smallest chance in the world.
So I know your game. You want to be asked, Rick, would you like to do a hockey show with Dave? No. And then we'd be right back here. Except you'd feel better because you were asked to do the show.
Well, Dave, answer me this. What's wrong with wanting to be wanted?
Listen, this is not me. It's not like I didn't want him. I would have been happy to have him on the show. I love Rick. I'd like to spend more time with him, and to do a hockey show would have been fun. But this was out of my pay grade.
Well, no, it was exactly in your pay grade. I know who's paying for the show. So, I mean, he lives in your basement. It's exactly in your pay grade. You just chose, I mean, you just chose because you love doing your own show. To
you,
just
you think this
exclude
is me?
Me.
You think
you
I
had a say in it.
I will only do this solo.
I'll do it solo and we'll have some guests on. You can ask Rick if he wants to be a guest.
No, I don't know why you turned down being a guest on the show.
I have no interest in being a guest. This
why?
Is your vehicle.
Hey,
this is your show.
Why?
Because it's a hockey show.
So, right, exactly. You're a hockey guy. You should come on as a guest on the show.
He should have been asked to do the show, though.
But
he absolutely should have been asked.
The toothpaste is out of the tube on that one, Chris. He's not going to be asked to do the show. Shouldn't he want to come on
no.
and be a guest on the show?
No, the level of disrespect, the fact that they didn't even think to ask him, that's the part that just turned him off from the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I just felt like asking him to be a guest is just like, it's already, insulting. It's insult to injury.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we won't ask any more then.
No, actually, I prefer you do ask so I can continue to say no.
No,
just really don't ask me so I can say no every time.
ECR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. In fact, I'm not even going to talk about it at all. Let's go to Orlando in Queens. Orlando, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Giants because two of you guys are actually hating on the Giants. One of you guys is actually... I agree with my thoughts, actually.
I actually don't know who's hated on the Giants and who's pro-Giants. Like, I'm confused by that, to be honest.
I believe you hated on the Giants and I'm pro-Giants.
I think Chris did. Chris did that he don't think that Daniel Jones will be a good quarterback for the Giants.
When did I say that? When did I say that? Just tell me exactly what moment in the show I said that.
When you were talking about the Giants earlier, he's talking about that Daniel Jones has to improve. He did improve. Why don't you take on that?
He did? Daniel Jones was a better quarterback in year two than year one, Orlando?
I think so. I think he did improve in the turnovers. I think he did.
He had 16 turnovers in 2020. He had 23 in 2019. So he did improve.
But is it an overall statement? It's not only about the turnovers.
Well, I mean, that's the biggest part of it, though, isn't it? I mean, as long as Daniel Jones doesn't give the ball away, the Giants have a chance. In his career, the Giants are 4-1 when he doesn't turn the ball over. When he does, they're 4-18. So, I mean, one of the biggest things that Daniel Jones has to improve on is his consistency in not giving the ball to the other team. And I still think he has a lot to prove on that front. Like, he's got to show that the second half of 2020 is not a fluke, and that's going to be more of who he is moving forward. I don't think that's me being critical of Daniel. I'm just citing facts of the matter. And the Giants are going to have to make a huge decision after this upcoming season on whether or not Daniel Jones is going to be the guy. I never once said that I don't think Daniel Jones is incapable of being a franchise quarterback. I didn't say that.
Well, it kind of sounded like if you did. But
no, Orlando, he's being, Orlando.
You are
Orlando,
so unfair.
He's giving you the truth. I mean, you're trying – all you have, you know, what you're basing your comments on is strictly hope that Daniel Jones is going to be your starter, is going to be your franchise quarterback. The reality is yeah, did he cut down on the turnovers? He did. But he also threw 13 less touchdowns last season. He did not. I mean, he looked like he was starting to trend in the right direction until he got hurt, and unfortunately he did get hurt because I would have loved to seen how that – if he'd stayed healthy, how the Giants finished up. But, I mean, he is – last season was not enough – to slam dunk guarantee that he's going to be a franchise quarterback. It wasn't.
That's all I'm saying. What did I say early on in the 5 o'clock hour? I said, I think there's a chance that we get to the end of the season and you look at Daniel Jones and you say, boy, that's a really good quarterback. And I think there's a chance you get to the end of the season and you say, you know what? The Giants are in the market for a new quarterback. I don't have any idea what Daniel Jones is right now. And I don't see how that's unfair.
Well, I don't think it's unfair at all. And we all know Canty deep down inside is a Dallas Cowboy.
I'm just saying. Everybody thinks I'm hating on the Giants. I'm hating on Daniel
Jones. I don't
think
you're hating on the Giants. I think you're realistic when
gosh.
It comes to the Giants.
I'm too close
Cowboy
to it.
Cowboy.
I'm too close to it, Dave. That's what it is.
Cowboy.
Chris Canty garbage.
Chris Canty garbage.
That's my favorite. But Santi,
can't be garbage.
Garbage.
Ain't nobody know you. You're not LT.
Oh man.
Oh, that's too good.
Chris Canty garbage.
Great. No, but
Chris Canty garbage.
What would you say right now? I mean, you're the fanatical Giants fan.
Yes.
Number one priority. Like, if one priority this offseason for the Giants is what?
Weapons for Daniel Jones.
I agree. That's the biggest question. I mean, the defense was actually pretty damn good last year.
They got to get better, though. They got to get better on defense.
Agreed. But I think the biggest question that needs to be answered is whether or not Daniel Jones is your guy.
That's got to be the answer by the end of the season.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I wish you hadn't told me what you just said, Rick, about the Mets and their third base position. Tell everyone what you just said.
No, I was just watching some infield practice. It was a J.D. Davis taking ground balls at third base.
And
Right behind him was the polar bear, Pete Alonso.
No, I can think of work. Nothing less attractive than watching Pete Alonso at third base.
What's worse, though? I mean, you're going to have
to make butchers on defense in spring training.
You see, McNeil had three errors the other day.
Yeah, but that's the biggest concern still. I mean, one of the biggest concerns. The bullpen's still a concern. But then on top of it, because there's no DH, I mean, what happens now?
They
Dom
are
going to be in left field? I don't want to see that very often.
Maybe worse than any team by not having a DH this year.
Yeah, Washington gets hurt too. But yeah, I mean, defensively, DH, what it does for them defensively is night and day.
So what would you do? We'll get to the Yankees in a second. What would you do at first base? Would you just stick Alonso there and have him as your guy?
Yeah, what do you mean? Of course, yes.
Well, but so how is Dom Smith going to get any playing time?
Left field.
Left field.
Oh, God. That's another one of those two.
Well, you put Dom Smith in left field, and then I would imagine if Dom Smith's in left, then you're going to have Elmore or Pilar. Like, Pilar's going to have to be in center field to make up for the fact that
Dom
Smith...
It'll be like the Bad News Bears. If the ball gets hit to the outfield, Kelly Leak, you make the play. No one else goes near it.
Well, seriously, I mean, J.D. Davis is not a great defensive third baseman.
No, he's terrible.
Okay, McNeil's average at second base.
At best.
And then Dom Smith in left. But I mean, if you surround him with Lindor at short, who's got tons of range, and then Pilar in center, maybe it makes up the difference.
It's so weird. It's so disjointed, though, right? Because if you put Smith in left field, he's a bad left fielder. You put Pilar in center, he's elite. You put J.D. Davis at third, he's bad. You put Lindor at short, he's elite. It's just, it's put together so odd.
Well, yeah, but again, I mean,
They can hit.
But does that necessarily get the best out of your pitching staff? Yeah, it's great to get run support, but it also, I mean, when you got a guy like Stroman who induces a lot of ground balls, like, you need good defense. I don't need J.D. Davis getting peppered all game and watching that. But hey, this is not the time to be negative about the Mets.
No. We're 3 weeks away from Thursday.
And contract negotiations between Lindor and the club are going to heat up this week.
That's right.
He wants to get a deal done before the start of the regular season. So
it will. Yeah. I'm not remotely worried about that deal getting done.
No, but it just adds to the positive vibes around the Mets if that deal gets done before regular season starts, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the Mets fans
Could I also say too quickly, Dave, before we take one of these calls and transition out of baseball?
Why do you want to go out of baseball? I was going to get into this.
Oh, we're staying
into
baseball.
What he had to say.
Okay, we'll just get off the Mets for a second. I mean, at some point, I mean, the players have to come together and talk to the guy. Talk to Tony Clark. Like, how is it? I don't understand. It's better for the players. It's better for the pitchers to have a DH. I don't understand.
But they won't give anything up now.
Why, though?
Because they know how contentious the negotiations are going to be after the season, and the players will not give anything. The owners and players.
What are you going to get for the DH?
Stand each other right now.
What are you going to get for the DH?
Here's what it is. It's what the owners want.
For that reason alone,
they're not going to do it. I'm not saying it's right, but that's their rationale. They want it. It makes them happy because they want it, and we have some leverage to not give it to them. We won't give it to them.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense, though. The owners can say that they want it, but the owners say they want it because they want to protect their pitchers. The players want it because not only does it protect the pitchers, because we don't need to see the pitchers hit, but it also, now, when you're a free agent, it opens the entire league up to you. Because at some point, if you sign a long-term deal, you're not going to be good at the position that you're signing to play.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be nice to have the option that we can move him to DH. It's way more beneficial to the players than it is the owners. This is one of those ones, what are we going to get for it? Probably not that much, so we might as well just do it.
They should do it.
But I guess they're saying whatever we would get from the owners, whatever concession the owners would be willing to make, it's worth it for us just because we got our teeth kicked in with the last CBA negotiation. Don't want to give an inch when it comes to anything that the owners could potentially want to improve the game, to help with the entertainment value of baseball overall.
Okay, Christian, listen, in theory, you're right. But my pushback to that would be this, is that you still have the expanded playoffs. That's really what the owners want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying give up the expanded playoffs. Keep that
yeah.
if you want to use that as a bargaining chip.
Okay.
There's no reason not to have the DH. Plus, it makes your sport better. And if your sport's better, that means more people watch it, which means you make more money.
Well, I guess that's
more guys' jobs.
And I'm with you, Rico. I agree with you. The DH makes baseball more entertaining. But I think they're looking at it as that being a responsibility of the owners, like the onus on improving the game being on the owners. Rather than it being a true partnership and them working together, they're looking at it and saying, if you're the owners and you want to grow the sport and grow the pie of the money that will eventually split, then go ahead and give a little more with these CBA negotiations and we'll give you the DH. I guess that's how Tony Clark and the union are negotiating this. I agree with you guys. I think that's a little misguided. But nonetheless, that's where the players are at with it.
Yeah. So, we all are in agreement that the DH in the National League makes sense and it certainly benefits the Mets. But the players will not give in because they feel like they've been raked over the coals and they're not going to give the owners anything. Even if it benefits them, they're so spiteful at this point, they won't give in because it's what the owners want. So they won't do it.
Well, I don't think they're being represented right then. Tony Clark stinks at his job then.
Maybe so. All right. Aaron Judge. And this is, listen. Let's take a listen to Aaron Judge, and then we'll react off of it. It's shocking to me that we're going to be back here yet again, but this is where we are. Aaron Judge on the catcher, Gary Sanchez.
Gary's going to have a special year this year. You know, just the changes I've seen him make, the improvements on both sides of the baseball, and, you know, Gary's a guy that can go out there and win AL MVP. You know, he's that dynamic and he's that important of a player to this team. You know, he's a guy that, you know, I wouldn't want to run against him on, you know, if I was on the base path. And when he's at the plate, you know, you don't want to leave anything out over the middle and he's going to do some damage. And, you know, even seeing the game today where I think some guy was on in front of him and then he takes a base hit to the right field. You know, he's going to throw a little fastball away and I'll take my base hit. You know, so seeing those improvements, those changes has been huge. And we have him, you know, if he's hitting 7, 8, 9, 5, 6, wherever he's hitting in the lineup, man, he's going to make a difference for us and be a huge part of our team.
So here we go again.
He's already put him in the bottom of the lineup.
He didn't let it slip though, didn't he, Rico?
Didn't he also go on to say that, and I guess it's not in the cut, that he could see Gary Sanchez winning American League MVP?
No, he said it.
He said that.
You just don't listen.
No, well, because I was watching you.
But this is why when we get to know your co-host, you never win. It's because you just tune out.
Do you know what I have going on here?
Oh, here we go.
I mean,
here we go.
Any idea what I have going on? I got reads up the yin yang. I got sound on separate pages. I got callers I'm looking at. I'm looking at your beautiful face. I'm thinking about questions for guests. I am. All you have to worry about is what's Dave going to say and how can I answer that question? I'm
no,
juggling
that's not
over
it.
Here.
No, that's not it. I'm thinking of trying to, you know, funny, witty things to say. Listen, if you want me to take on some of the responsibilities, Chris and I to take on some of those responsibilities,
yeah, I'd love
more
it.
Than happy.
I'd love it. I would adore that. You think I need to tell everybody about Straight Talk Wireless? No, I take that. You can have that. Chris can have Cintas. Then I can pay better attention to Aaron Judge and what he says all the time.
I don't know if it was in that cut or not, but didn't he? No, it was in that cut.
It was 36 seconds. I was looking down for a moment. I didn't hear everything he had to say. I apologize. My point being, is this the game we're going to play again? That Gary Sanchez is going to be so good and great, and he hits and he fields, he's sensational. We know he's talented. We know he's disappointing. To talk about this guy as a potential MVP, stop it.
Yeah, but this is the kind of talent that he has. I mean, this is that Aaron Judge is not the only one that said it. I mean, Alex Rodriguez, whenever he's asked, I mean, he always get Gary Sanchez is one of his favorite players in the Yankees.
Then it should be more frustrating.
Well, of course it is. That's why Yankees fans, Gary Sanchez drives Yankees fans crazy. Because everyone sees how much talent this guy has. And when he's right, like having him as your catcher when he's right,
yeah,
what an advantage that is.
It's a huge advantage.
It's a huge advantage.
But he's never right.
Oh, he's been right.
A couple of years ago he was right. We had 34 bombs. And 2 years prior to that, he hit like 33. So, I mean, it's like you have a catcher that can hit 30-plus home runs. Like, that gives you a distinct advantage on the offensive side. And Gary Sanchez is a supremely talented hitter. Now, he's lost a lot of confidence in the last couple of years. But, I mean, we're still talking about the fastest guy in the American League to 100 home runs. Like, I mean, that's the kind of talent that he has as a hitter. It's just that when it comes to trying to improve on the defensive side of things, his head's kind of spinning, and the Yankees haven't been able to get him back right. They haven't been able to build him back up. And I think a part of why Aaron Judge and DJ LeMahieu and others are coming out in spring training and talking about how great he looks is to try to give Gary Sanchez some confidence because they recognize how important a year this is for him and how he can impact this team's potential success.
Huge year for him. If he doesn't have at least a good year, this will be the last year that he spends on the Yankees.
Yeah, but he's been a victim of those kind of high expectations, though. And to this point, he hasn't really lived up to them. Because it's a double-edged sword. I get what Chris is saying, and I agree with Chris, is that, you know, you want to pump your teammates up, and what you've seen, I mean, he's dedicated himself. His body looks good. He played winter ball. I mean, the fact that he's actually using right field now is a really good sign. But, I mean, there's also now the opportunity for a fan to hear that, and now their expectations for Gary Sanchez go through the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
So it can work both ways. Yeah, but regardless of what anyone says, there was going to be a lot of pressure on him, period.
Sure, but I don't have to hear MVP conversation thrown out there, do I?
Well, no, you probably don't. But again, for all those people that say, well, why don't they just give up on Gary Sanchez? This is why they have a hard time quitting
Gary
Sanchez.
I understand why.
Dave, I don't know. Are you going to have an MVP batting 7th, 8th, or 9th?
That is pretty attractive,
you know,
though.
Wherever he is in the lineup.
Yeah. He's batting 7th, 8th, or 9th, or 4th, 5th, and 6th. Wherever the skip the side.
It's like our time slot.
Wow.
We're locked in now.
Wow.
We've been in this time slot for more than 2 months. Yeah, this is our home.
Don't get comfortable.
Eternity.
Don't get comfortable.
Trust me. I'm waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm never comfortable. I have a read here. You want me to do it?
We're going to give you guys an extra hour. How does 4 a.m. start?
So. We'll start at 3. Do the overnight. Dude, midnight to 8.
Hey,
how long do you think
realized,
you could go?
I realized this morning is that we wake up so early that it's too early for the infomercials to kick in. Like, there's still regular programming.
We're
when
before
I wake
the
up.
Infomercial start?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching the K-Show this morning.
They replay that on Yes, don't they?
Yeah, and then I've got the Food Network. I got Beat Bobby Flay. Like, none. Usually, it's all infomercials. Nope. Too early for infomercials.
That is early. All right. Spend your tax return wisely. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk. Rick will do that read tomorrow morning. And let's go. Little C-M-T.
To cuddle.
Tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Definitely emotionally broken. I worry about what yesterday's hockey schedule did to you. Coming off the weekend in which you had a video, Rick, going into the show, then into a matinee hockey game.
When do I get to see this video, by the way?
Maybe today. Today or tomorrow. Oh. There are many people that need to approve it. As tedious as you think doing the videos is, getting the video approved is a whole
other
animal. All
right, so I heard it was excellent, Rick. I would say... Chris, if I said to you the video took a minute, I don't know the answer. Over, under 75 minutes to make. Would you say over or under?
I would go over.
Well, why don't we spin it at Rick? Cuddle, marry, or trash 75 minutes as your video time.
Well, I'm going to trash that. It was way over.
Yeah.
It was way over.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I finally do. Listen, I had the whole family involved, as usual. Like, Milo's like critiquing me, no, try it this way. And then I'd finally get a take that was decent, and Milo would talk before the take was over. Or the baby would make noise before the take was over.
If you don't know what we're talking about, at DCR on ESPN, all your social platforms. At some point, stay tuned, refresh constantly, every minute.
How long did it take you to do this thing, then?
We were looking at a good... 2 hours and
oh my god,
2 hours and 10-ish.
Oh my god.
There's wardrobe changes, there's props in the background.
I had to take a break. I had to print some stuff off the computer. Like, you gotta pay attention to the detail in the video.
There's a full camera crew. There's unionized workers.
Oh my god. There's gaffers.
Afters
they got
involved.
It all going on over there.
Yeah. Alrighty. So you guys touched on this earlier. Marcus May, a happy birthday to Marcus May, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday.
28 today. His birthday gift. That depends how he looks at it. Maybe what he wanted, maybe not. But he'll, as of now, play under the franchise tag. For safety, if you were wondering, it's $10.5 million if he makes it to the regular season still on the tag. So I ask you this, cuddle, marry, or trash, Marcus May still playing under the tag when week one rolls around.
Ooh. I will go first. I will cuddle this. I think there's a good chance that he ends up playing under the tag this season.
I will trash it. I think they get a long-term deal done before week one of the season.
Yeah, I don't think Marcus May wants to play on an expiring contract, so I'm going to trash it as well. I think he gives a little bit, and they get a deal done.
All right. Russell Wilson, still a Seattle Seahawk. Dan Orlovsky thinks that may be temporary.
When it comes to Russell, it's starting to remind me of the Carson Wentz situation in Philadelphia in regards to the silence from Carson Wentz spoke volumes. And we're in the time frame of being the easiest time ever to make a comment or a statement, a post on Twitter, a post on Instagram, some form of social media post. Russell Wilson hasn't said a single thing to refute anything coming out of Seattle, to refute any of the claims, to refute the desire to be traded. It would be so easy as just to make a simple social media post, and he hasn't done that. That to me speaks volumes. That to me says, I want out and I want out now.
That was on KJZ yesterday, which starts at 8 a.m. every weekday morning. So, cuddle, marry, or trash Russell Wilson, the Seahawks week one starter.
I will cuddle it. I guess there's a chance they move on from him. I think it's unlikely. I will cuddle with a closer to marry than I will to trash.
Interesting. Rico?
You almost can't go wrong with cuddle, right? Because you can just play on both. I mean, this is...
Anything can happen.
Cuddle's the easy way out. Does it make sense? Like, here's the thing. Financially, does it make sense for Seattle? And can... I mean, it feels like Chicago's team. Can they offer Seattle enough to make it worth trading Russell Wilson?
I mean, if they were going to... I mean, you got to think three first-round draft picks is just a starting point, and those are back half of the first-round picks. Throw in a couple of starters, Roquan Smith, Jalen Johnson. I mean, I think they could put a package together. But, I mean, you're talking about Seattle having to eat a whole lot of dead money.
I think it's, what, $39 million
in dead money? $39 million, yeah.
I definitely think he wants out. Doesn't make much sense. I'll do the same thing as Dave. I'll be
welcome.
I'll cuddle it.
Yeah, I'm going to make it a unanimous cuddle, although I'm going to go the opposite direction to Dave. I'm going to cuddle, but closer to trashing
really?
It, just because I do think that door is ajar a little more than people think it is.
Which is interesting, because when this all started, I think everyone kind of wrote it off. Ah, he's unhappy. They'll figure it out. Maybe they won't figure it out. But a lot of people have been complaining about the way the NBA game has been played in recent years. Emphasis on three-point shooting, lack of what you would call classic-style basketball. A lot of people complain about it. Well, the Kaster on the Michael Kay Show yesterday had an idea of how to actually fix that.
I think you get rid of the corner three and you move the highest arc all the way back near the logo so the great three-point shooters like Steph and Dame can do it. And then it becomes a regular game again because not everybody could shoot it from out there. Those guys are otherworldly, and if you have them, that's quite a weapon.
Cuddle, marry, or trash the Kaster's idea.
So we're getting rid of the corner three,
right,
and we're just extending.
So the arc would end somewhere on the wing, and then the top of the arc, straight away dead center, would go closer to midcourt than where it is.
Oh, God. I hate that idea. I don't like it at all. I'll trash it. I think it's ridiculous.
This is a Michael Kay idea, correct?
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm going to marry the hell out of it. I'm going to marry it. I'm going to get it pregnant.
Embarrassing.
Of course he is.
You know what you should have done, RJ? You should have just told us the idea, not told us who it was, had him answer, and then told him who it was. Because he can't think straight when you talk about Michael Kay.
Don't be jealous. Stop.
Yeah.
Jealous? You don't like the idea. The only reason you like it at all is because it's him.
Yeah, he don't want to say anything negative about Kay.
That's right.
Like, that's what it comes down to. I'm going to trash the idea as well. I don't like it at all. I like where the three-point line is at, and I like the evolution of the game. You know, no lead is safe in today's NBA, and I think that makes for a little bit more drama, a little more suspense.
I'm sure Rick has already fired off a series of texts.
Yep. Oh, I'm sure. He'll have Kay on the show 7:15 this morning.
Letting them know where the both of you stand. And finally, I can talk about it openly now, the Portland hockey team has concluded the regular season. Undefeated, the first ever undefeated season for Portland, led by one of our own, Coach Rick DiPietro. Cuddle, marry, or trash this as the greatest high school hockey season of all time?
Well, I think you have to marry it, don't you, Dave? There's no other choice.
No. The greatest high school hockey season of all time, was it a success? Absolutely. Should you be proud? Certainly. Should you have bought them, you know, gratuitous amounts of jewelry, spending thousands of dollars? Probably so. You won three games. You went 3-0. So I'm not going to put this up there with these, you know, 18-0 wonderful seasons the teams have had. I think that's diminishing to them. It's a good season. You couldn't have done better. You should be pleased. But no, greatest season ever, right into the trash.
Rico, I'm going to marry it. I'm not going to be negative like Dave. I choose to look at it as glass half full. You guys went undefeated this year. I mean, that's I mean, there's no debating that. So for that reason, and that reason alone, I'm going to marry it as one of the greatest high school seasons ever.
I mean, you know Dave is a master debater, and this can't be debated. This is, I can only play my schedule, Dave.
I blame you for nothing. And you had success, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's one of the great high school seasons in the history of...
What's on a cookie?
...of high school hockey. I can't do it. Wouldn't be true to myself if, in fact, I did. But I don't have time to think about that kind of stuff because I have another read to give you right now. Today, people expect a new level of clean. Synthos provides a wide range of essential products and services that help businesses keep their facilities and employees clean and safe. Synthos will keep you well-stocked with essential supplies like face masks, hand sanitizer, gloves, and thermometers. We know the importance of the thermometer. Synthos will hygienically clean and deliver your uniform. Synthos also helps you protect employees and customers with first aid and safety supplies and fire protection services. Synthos helps you open your doors with confidence every single day. Learn how Synthos can help you keep your business clean and safe at Synthos.com. Get Synthos and get ready for the workday. That's a big read, huh?
Yeah, speaking of clean, though, what do we do? How do you clean that thermometer? Is the real question. Is that a dishwasher?
Alcohol was involved. No. Was like, you can't put a thermometer in the dishwasher. My name is Dave, and I had my temperature taken rectally as a child. What's the matter with you? No, there's an alcohol used and wiped down thoroughly, and then right back into the box.
Hey, you don't put a sleeve on it or anything?
No soap, anything? Soap?
Yeah, is there a sleeve on it?
I don't remember.
Is there like a thermometer, a little casing?
Yeah,
yeah. Because you got to do. I don't think you can clean that with just with
a thermometer condom.
Yeah,
yeah. I think there was something.
Probably a magnet for the size of the thermometer you used.
What does that mean?
Wow! Never go to break, Dave. Go to break. Go to break.
I was a little child.
Go to break.
I was 6 years old, 7 years old.
Wow!
What is that?
What is that? What are those?
You really?
Wow,
are
Dave.
Animal.
Whew. You are a gift, Rothenberg. You really are.
You are an animal, DiPietro.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.